me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 28. First Samuel chapter 28, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name to thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executedst his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words, which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, let me set a morsel of bread before thee and eat, that thou mayest have strength, and when thou goest on thy way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. As I have told you before about this passage, it is a very difficult passage to understand and to interpret. It is certainly an extraordinary and unusual passage, even of the Scriptures. Matthew Poole, in his fine and able commentary on the Holy Scriptures, claims that this was Satan disguised as Samuel that rose up to speak to Saul that night. Kyle and Delitzsch, in their commentary, say that the Lord allowed for this extraordinary circumstance where in some sense, Samuel returned and spoke to Saul. And so you have some very fine commentators of other stripes that are divided on this passage. It is indeed a difficult passage, and not one because of this difficulty that we ought ever to expect to be repeated. So, you know what my view is. My view, I believe, was prophesied already in 1 Samuel, where we heard that Samuel never saw Saul again until the day of Saul's death. That passage to me helps me to put some sense to this passage, which otherwise I think I would be in a complete conundrum over and not able to come up with a right interpretation. I do believe that the Lord allowed, in other words, my view tends toward Kyle and Delitzsch and not toward Matthew Poole in this. And when Matthew Poole and Kyle and Delitzsch disagree, most often you're going to find me agreeing with Matthew Poole, but not in this instance. So I think what we have here is we have the Lord allowing for some extraordinary circumstance to take place, that this woman who had a familiar spirit actually did conjure up Samuel, something that she had never done before. I don't believe she had ever conjured up a spirit before, that she was a trickster like they all are. And this is why she shouted in fright. That is my view. So as we move through this passage, then keep in mind that it is a tenuous view because the situation is so very extraordinary. And yet I do believe that this is what we have. All right, so in the first six verses, we have David's divided loyalty. Now, this will come to a greater fruition in the next chapter, Lord willing, this afternoon. So I'll not spend a lot of time on it here. But keep in mind that I'll tell you what we'll do here. We'll commend David, and then we'll talk about some critical comments later in the next chapter. The commendation of David here is, notice that when a righteous man is among his friends or among his enemies, there will always be some appreciation for him. That David, while among the Gittites, the Gathites, Achish in particular, that his behavior has been in such, or has been so exemplary before Achish. He has conducted himself so very politely, with such aplomb, with such understanding, and so on, that Achish is loyally devoted to David. Now we're going to see that David, well, that not all of that was honest on the part of David. And we will be critical of David later. But let me just say it this way, that no matter where you find yourselves, should the Lord in His providence cause you to travel far and wide, wherever you end up, remember that you stand as one who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And how will you represent Him then? Will you be known as a sluggard? Will you be known as a thief? Will you be known as a liar? Or will your reputation be that of uprightness and trustworthiness and bravery and courage and all of those virtues that are universally and naturally recognized by all humanity? David here, in the face of unbelievers, is thought of as an upright man. And that is commendable. And that is something that we ought to take notice of. Now, we know some things behind the scenes that Achish doesn't know. And so we'll bring those out, Lord willing, in the next chapter. All right. I have to dispense there because, really, we need to get on to Saul's fear and then his conclusion to that fear. So Saul looks around and he sees the Philistines gathering up against him. And the Philistines have quite a force set up against him by their hundreds and thousands, and they're in battle array. And so Saul is afraid. What does Saul do when he is afraid? Remember what David said? What time I am afraid, I will finish the sentence. Trust in thee. What does Saul do when he's afraid? Let me find a witch. You see that? Now notice also Saul's feigned religion. There are two things that are very important and that point that out in this passage. The first is that as king, he said, all those who have familiar spirits, get out of the land or I'll kill you. Okay. And then secondly, notice that he's been fasting for all day and all night. Well, these acts of Saul's only betray his religion. They don't indeed enforce it, except to enforce it as the religion of hypocrisy. Saul is showing off for the Lord, trying to get his favor. And all who do that will find the Lord is not favorably disposed to them. Those only who cast themselves upon the mercy of God in Christ, who show themselves humbly before Him to be sinners and endeavor with all their hearts to follow after Him, haltingly, failingly, and with great humility and reverence. That's what it means to be a Christian, a believer in Yahweh. But Saul, we find him doing religious tricks in order to get noticed by God. And when push comes to shove, when the crisis finally hits in Saul's life, where does he go? To the Lord? No. He can't. He doesn't have it in him. The only place he can go is to the witch of Endor. The Lord has not answered me. It's His fault. I'm forced to go to the witch of Endor. And so he's still making excuses like he made to Samuel at the beginning of his reign. And so notice that while there was a command that said, all of you go, that when he says to his men, find me a familiar spirit, they didn't have to look very far. They didn't have to go hunting. They just kind of, we know of one, and we'll take you there. So that speaks not only to the unrighteousness of King Saul, but the unrighteousness of his court as well that would entertain such a king. Do not be those kinds of friends to your friends. They should have risen up and said, Saul, don't do this thing. Call upon the name of the Lord, even if he doesn't answer. Confess your sins. Repent. Turn to him. But they didn't. They said, we'll do what you want, King. We just happen to know where one is. And so they take him to the witch of Endor. So then Saul disguised himself. He put on other raiment. He went by night. What do you think Saul's conscience is telling him here? Why do people do such things? Why do they go at night? Why do they put on other clothes? Why do they disguise themselves? Why do they not want to be recognized? When you recognize these things in yourself, see also that what you're about to do is violate your conscience. See that too. So then, notice that she says, no, I can't do that. I can't do what you're asking me to do because you know what King Saul has done. He said that anyone who divines with a familiar spirit will be cut off. So then Saul says, by the name of Yahweh, you will not be cut off. And so Saul invokes the covenant name of God in order to sin. You have to see the depths of depravity into which Saul has sunk here. All right, so after they make the deal then, who shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And so she goes into a routine. Now this is what I believe is happening here. Okay, this text doesn't exactly say it, but I think it's implied. And so she goes into her routine as to what she normally would have done to conjure up, in quotes, some spirit, which she never conjured up, but pretended to conjure up. And suddenly, she screams like she hasn't screamed before. Because the Lord has intervened in this extraordinary circumstance, and He has given Samuel to speak to Saul one more time. And so here's Samuel, and she screams, and he says, she says, you're Saul, aren't you? And he says, what did you see? I saw gods rising up from the earth, literally Elohim. So probably I saw a god, in other words, a great one rising up from the earth. And so he says, describe him. It's an old man with a mantle. That's Samuel. And so it's interesting how the exchange goes from here, because as soon as Saul recognizes it's Samuel, what does it say he does? He did obeisance. You see the hypocrisy in that. All Saul's reign long, he refused to hearken to Samuel. Now, what's he saying? Oh, I'll hearken to you. I'll listen. I'll do what you want. And so, there is this interesting conversation that takes place between Samuel and Saul. Samuel first says, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, listen, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do, as if he didn't know already. How many times had Samuel told Saul, repent and turn to the Lord? And so, notice that Saul, did you hear it in the background? I heard it in my mind while I was reading that portion. Did you also not hear, therefore I forced myself? Isn't that what he said when he offered the sacrifice when he shouldn't have? And I hear that same attitude here again. And so we see in Saul a man that hasn't progressed one whit spiritually. He is still making excuses. He's still blaming God. He's still blaming everyone but himself. Samuel's answer speaks to the wisdom of the prophet as we knew him when he was alive. If the Lord has cut you off and won't speak to you, why do you think I will? That's a very interesting answer, isn't it? If the Lord has shut his mouth to you, if the Lord will not answer you by prophet, by dream, or by Urim and Thummim, then indeed why do you think I would have anything to say to you that would matter? Of course, when the Lord stops speaking to a people, the next step is what? Judgment. So we see Saul ripe for judgment here. And that's exactly what Samuel tells him. He says, here's what's going to happen. It doesn't really matter that you ask me for counsel, because here are the events that are left to you. There is no other possible outcome here. You don't need to be a prophet to know what's about to happen, Saul. Seeing that you have thrown off the Lord at every turn, He has cast you off as well. And so, tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be with me. Your death is imminent. And that is all that's left to you. So then, there's just one more thing that I want to remind you of in Samuel's speech to Saul, which is, I think, just amazing. Verse 17, the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon, what's the next word? Amalek. Samuel draws Saul all the way back to the beginning, where he made that first choice of apostasy. And he said, Saul, you have set yourself on a trajectory of apostasy here that has never been departed from till today. Amazing thing, isn't it? Saul never repented of what he did that day. So the Lord will deliver Israel into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou and thy sons will be with me. And the Lord shall also deliver the hosts of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. So then, verses 20 through the end of the chapter, we have Saul falling on the floor of the witch of Endor, laying himself upon the earth. He has no strength left in him. It's not just because he's fasting. It is because he's been struck so very deeply in his soul with fear by the pronouncement of Samuel here. And then we have what seems to be the kindness of the woman. But here I'm going to side with Poole. This is not the kindness of the woman. This is her endeavoring to keep her neck out of the noose, if you will. And so, no. Please let me give you a morsel of bread, of food. But notice what she does. She kills the fatted calf and she sets Saul a kingly meal. And what's she trying to do? She's trying to wend her way into Saul's favor so that he doesn't execute the sentence of judgment upon her because she has divined a familiar by means of a familiar spirit. And so she brought it to Saul and his servants, and they did eat, and then they rose up and went away that night. What a tragedy of someone who started out so well. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.